Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam. I guess John.
And Sean.
And we have a special guest, returning guest. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's Ryan. Thanks for having me again.
Welcome and back.
Sorry in advance for the squeaky chair and dildo mic. So I apologize if the vocals are off.
We have a very weird room here today.
Yeah.
I like the imagery of the squeaky chair and a dildo mic. Just let people figure out what we mean by that.
It's better than a dildo chair and a squeaky mic.
Hey, guys, I love the dildo chair. It's great.
Oh, man. All right, starting off strong. So what a docket do we have today? So we have the Rise of Skywalker trailer, the final Skywalker Star Wars saga movie,
yeah,
whatever
the latest stuff from Disney
is coming out. We have Watchmen season one on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. episode 1,
first episode,
and then Between Two Ferns, Zombieland 2 Double Tap review, Little Monsters, and then we're gonna circle back on Joker real quick, El Camino, and I think that was about it, right? Oh, jeez, there's a lot.
Then we're going to talk Brexit for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, Chris's weekly financial advice.
Quick 40 on Brexit.
Just to start it off, if we're in holiday season, and I want to ask you guys this because I was thinking about it for 20 minutes on the way over here.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm trying to think of good witch movies.
All right, other than Hocus Pocus.
Other than Hocus Pocus, my go-tos for witch movies right now. Hocus Pocus,
yep.
The Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, which is okay. And then Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. And those are my go-tos for witches.
The Craft is pretty good.
Okay.
Escape from Witch Mountain.
There was a movie.
Return to Witch Mountain.
I'm trying to stick with... Last year I watched a lot of Slasher. And then this year
so you're trying to go
I'm all about
witches
and I'm trying to find some good
you're
stuff.
All about them witches, bitches.
I've seen The Witch. I didn't like it that much.
I don't have a lot of recommendations that aren't on Cinemax on demand, so
I got one. It petrified me as a kid that I had to sleep with a nightlight on if you said the word witches. The movie Witches from 1990.
Oh, the Roald Dahl one.
Sure. Angelica Houston's
yeah,
in it. She turns him into like a hamster and shit. Yeah. She pulls her nose off and it's like, dude, that movie freaked me out.
It's based on a Roald Dahl book. You know, the guy who did James and the Giant Peach and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That guy.
All right.
But yeah,
I'd like that one.
Yeah, which
you'll know it. And the kid lives with his grandfather or something. He builds him like a hamster cage up top at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
and all that.
It's actually getting redone.
Dude, that movie scared the crap out of me. I slept with a night my closet light on for years.
Yeah, the witches were really creepy in that movie.
Yeah, it was an odd one.
All right, well, I'll give that a shot then.
Yeah, I don't know how it holds up. It is 29 years old.
Yeah, I'm trying here. It's Halloween season. So anyway, moving on to the serious matters.
Oh boy.
Rise of Skywalker.
Hey.
The final trailer.
Final trailer.
It's not really the first trailer.
Yeah, the third, actually.
The final trailer came out. Comes out December 20th. Yeah. It is the final of 9 movies in the saga. Thoughts, reactions, anybody change any opinions or anything? John's raring to go. I know you're raring to go. I see the
John's
smile.
Revving.
I mean, like, I'm raring to go, but my take is that, like, it did nothing at all for me. It did, like, it's like I'm a dead man watching that movie. Like, no reaction. Yeah. No, I mean, really, like I see, like, fucking horses riding on, like, a Star Destroyer, I think. And, yeah, it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Okay. Anybody interested in the idea of time travel?
No.
That's been thrown around?
No.
No? Okay, good. I'm in the same boat.
Nope.
I don't know if knowing what we know now from the trailer, if the time travel thing even makes sense.
Yeah,
as a movie element.
But as we explained last week with In the Tall Grass, time travel is very tough to do correctly. And very, very often it's done poorly.
Yeah, it's just you open up so many plot holes that, like, it's just, you can't do that, man. Like, you really have to be, like, do it, like, either what Endgame did, which is just, like, just don't worry about it, guys. Mm. Just don't worry. Or you have to go, like, Back to the Future, where it's, like, that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
Is anybody still wanting to see it opening weekend?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, are you really?
Still check this
out.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, it's fucking Star Wars.
I mean, like, we have all this time invested. You can't back out at the end, but I'm with John. Yeah, man. But it's just meh.
At some point, your money has to speak for you, and you have to demonstrate.
Yeah, but this is the last of the Skywalker saga, supposedly. So, I mean, like, this is the last, like, big Star Wars movie for us to see in theaters.
Again, you have no interest in it. It's just the conclusion of a saga.
I have interest in it because I'm actually very curious how they're going to wrap up, add a second and third act into one movie.
I think I just find this trilogy just, like, not, like, remotely interesting. No. Like, at least the prequel trilogy is, like, a total mess, but it actually kind of tells an interesting story.
Well, like, Lucas was really
very macro, you know?
Lucas was very good at world building, and he did a great job of that in the prequels.
Yeah, that's been the problem with this trilogy.
They just borrowed
from the original trilogy, and, like, there's real lack of just, like, new starships,
I did see B-Wings, by the way.
And you got BB-8.
Yeah, like, that's, like, the most interesting thing they've added. The one new droid, The main character, like, even Rey, there's nothing interesting about her. Daisy Ridley's attractive, that's about it.
There would have been something interesting, but then Rian Johnson got rid of it.
Maybe.
But even, Finn, like, there could be something there. Yeah. And there just isn't. Finn is
the stormtrooper.
Stormtrooper. Yeah. I always forget what's Oscar Isaac's name.
Oh God,
Poe Dameron.
Rey could be any of the three. Poe could be any of the three. Finn could be any of the three.
I'm gonna push back a little bit on the whole Last Jedi. Them just saying like you're nobody. I actually really enjoyed that.
We know, Sam.
Because it's like, how many times does everyone have to be related to everyone else?
I know.
And, like, can't we just have one story where it's just, this is just some random person, and that's how the Force works. It'll just attach itself to just a nobody.
Yeah.
Why does everyone have to be related? It's such a lazy writing.
I understand that, but it was built up like she was important, and then it turns out she's not important. So it was like,
what was the point of that? They could have pulled it off better.
You think?
But like, just that whole like, she's a nobody, but she's still important.
There's a lot of things they could have pulled off better.
I think the problem is like The Last Jedi, if like they stuck with that and began sort of on that path, it would have worked. And maybe you could have even said The Force Awakens too. But those two movies don't go together.
There's no cohesion between the two.
After I just watched this trailer, it was a good trailer, number one.
They come with it. I mean, like, I felt nothing, but, like, that was... It took everything in my body to feel nothing.
Yeah. But that said, this could be the trailer for the first movie in this trilogy.
Could.
And it would have been much better than what we got.
It definitely feels like it's the last movie in a trilogy, but once again, we have yet to have a second act. And that's the problem.
The second act was the chase scene. Let's face it, which is the whole second movie.
So the whole point of this saga has been Rey and Kylo, and there's something special there because they're connected somehow.
Yeah, and it's not, and like, look, there's something there, or there could have been something there.
Yeah, but like, just, the way the second movie ended, it was like they finally got together kind of thing. Like, it's the end of the first act. Then you need a second act to cause like them like being together, like focusing on that relationship, and maybe they fall out. Third act is a conclusion of what, like, do they get back together or does one kill the other? Like, what happens? The problem is we don't have that middle act.
See, Sean, when we were talking about another trailer, you mentioned something, and it's like now gotten me like quietly being like, I really hope it would be, but you said it as if it was a bad thing.
What?
Which was that Rey ends up turning to the dark side.
Oh,
Kylo
yeah.
Ren ends up on the light.
Yes.
And I was like,
that'd be sick.
That actually, like, I kind of wish that's what happened.
Like, that would also be very much like in the opposite of Disney.
Oh, yeah, what yeah. Disney yeah. It's is, not going to happen.
Made to be.
It's... But, like, wouldn't that be cool?
No, it would be.
You just imagine, though, if, like, Captain America, like, turns bad at the end of, like, Endgame or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it'd be interesting. But I hope they deliver something that's, you know, good gut punch. They need to
do something because, like, I mean.
If they kill,
it's
if
fine.
The problem, if they kill another, like, lead Lando. Character. Then I'm just gonna be pissed. I'm gonna be pissed.
But like, why do you care though? They're not. You're not gonna see him again. Like, anyway.
I didn't want Han Solo to die.
No,
I didn't want him. He was.
I didn't want Luke to die.
One of my favorite things of the original trilogy. Yeah. That's just what it is. And then they really got rid of Luke Skywalker, who was literally the second favorite person, the one person who people actually got behind.
Yeah.
So you're slowly getting rid of the cast, and then. You know,
don't worry, Chewbacca's still in it.
Yeah, but it's C-3PO. I mean, C-3PO is pretty much the start of everything. All right.
Also, and then they had this
little moment.
I want to mention that scene with 3PO.
Okay, sure.
John, go ahead, because I know I want to hear your thoughts first.
Well, it's not on that. It's just about, I don't know. It to me, like, of the three, like, Princess Leia was always, like, the least interesting of the three, and they seemed to, like, really put a lot behind her.
Oh, in God,
trilogy. Yeah, but because you knew where she stood the whole time.
Yeah, with
Luke. But, it was more of a growing
she's
up.
The least
and then a Han
interesting character, though.
No. I know that's and probably like not why because she knew you knew what she was about. Whereas Luke had this growing up, and then Han Solo had like the flip. You know.
No,
like,
yeah. She, know, yeah. That's she, why she didn't grow as a character that much.
No, in the original you already knew trilogy. What she was.
Now, to the 3PO. This is Anthony Daniels' last film as 3PO, and that like scene kind of brought a tear to my eye when he's like, "I'm just." You know, looking at my friends one last time or saying goodbye one last time kind of thing. Like, that just kind of hit me like, this is Anthony Daniels is done.
Yeah,
3PO.
But do you want him killed?
No, I don't. That's not what I'm looking at.
That's kind of...
Maybe. It looks like
it
he's
could
being...
be, but there's an opening for it.
No, it looks like his memory's being wiped. Honestly. And that happens at the end of the
prequels. Yeah, but that's just as bad as killing him.
No, but that happens at the end of the prequels. That's why he doesn't remember anything.
Oh, well.
That literally...
Yeah, I know, but you're
that's
not...
That's the thing with droids. Droids have their memories wiped. R2-D2 never had his memory
wiped. Yeah, I know, but it's a different... It's different, you know.
That. I know, but that like just that line of him like saying goodbye. Like, granted, is he going to die? Probably not. He's probably just getting his memory wiped, and I really don't care. But
input him into the Millennium Falcon's like system, like the stupid Solo movie. I'm gonna flip my shit.
No, I know.
Much.
Still best movie they've made so far.
So, no, it is not true.
Solo?
Don't tell me it's Rogue One because 2/3 of that is just a hot mess.
Rogue One is
much better than Solo.
It's so hard for me to say that Rogue One's not my favorite Star Wars movie.
Could
right
I now. One last thought on this one? Pretty much confirmed that the Emperor is now a serious part of this movie.
Right.
I mean, it was before, but now we really do know. I think what kind of, like, ticks me off about that is, like, it definitely has the possibility of making, like, Return of the Jedi, like, lesser now. And, like, I still think that's the best one, and that's...
Yeah.
If they, like, fuck with the ending and kind of make that movie worse, like, to just... Because they had no other option to close this one out. Like, that's kind
of
shitty.
And it almost feels that way because of Snoke.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think there was anything really there to begin with for Snoke.
I feel like there probably was a plan for something being there, but because Snoke died at the end of the second one, like, they had to make that jump of, like, all right, well...
I guess it's the Emperor.
Yeah, like, it can't be Snoke. He's dead. But, yeah, like... Which the Emperor's throne, how it looks with the spikes and everything. I guess that was based off of a concept design from Return of the Jedi, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks like the Sith temples in what was that game? Galactic Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
The AOE knockoff. Anyway, right.
That's a deep cut.
But yeah. Well, let's,
and we know that was it Star Wars? What is that? Galaxies.
The Republic.
No, the thing at Disney.
Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, Galaxy's Edge. They confirmed that the planet that the Death Star 2 is on is
not Endor.
It is not. Well, Endor's the gas giant. It is not the forest moon of Endor. It is called Kef-Bur. That is the name of the planet. Which, once again, kind of goes back to the original trilogy and the prequels. Like, they just keep creating new, like, new planets, but, like...
We need to discuss the whole Endor thing.
I think it's written wrong
in the actual movie.
What do you mean?
Vader refers to the planet not as the forest moon of Endor.
No, but it is the forest moon of Endor.
I know, but Vader
Endor in the story, is a gas giant.
They say Vader that, in the story they says literally... they landed on Endor. That's what he said. It doesn't matter what
Vader said. We gotta, everyone else refers no, to it as I'm the forest moon
you,
of Endor.
I'm just telling
it,
you.
It
is one of, I believe, nine moons.
I know. We will. All
right. We've spent enough time talking about a movie that doesn't have Rock and Roll Part 2 in it. Because, big news on the Joker front, this is poised to be not only the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time, according to reports, but also, apparently, because it's, you know, on such a low budget comparatively to some of these other movies, going to be pretty much just as profitable when this all shakes out as, like, I think Infinity War was what the comp I saw, which, that's pretty impressive. Like, I mean... I realize it's not the most exciting thing, but for them to pretty much make a movie that's just as successful.
Are we praising DC right now?
DC, Warner Brothers, whatever you want to call it. Like, I
congrats,
just think that's
they
cool.
actually got a hit out of how many movies now?
Five.
No, it's been more.
Of the new ones?
Yeah.
But this Man isn't like Steel. DCEU. This is
No. It's all in the same Man like thing. It's universe. It's not DCEU anymore. They got rid of that. It's universe. It's
Green Lantern. Six?
DC universes or universes of DC.
Does Spawn count?
Universe.
No,
I.
Spawn is not part of DC.
He's Marvel.
No.
No. He's
no. Independent.
Vertigo. No.
I forget
Dark Horse.
He might be Dark Horse.
But isn't that
my bad?
Penguin.
No, and it's not Dark
anyway.
Horse.
Anyway. Well, we just wanted to hit upon, I guess, two things with it. First off, Ryan, you saw Joker.
Yes.
What were your thoughts?
I absolutely loved it. Like, I walked in there and I read a couple reviews. Like, you guys were both kind of, on and off, like, what the deal is with it, you know, yay or nay. I went in completely thinking that it was not a superhero movie. If you went in with any aspirations of it being something comparable to Marvel or anything like that, right. You were going to be severely let down. Mm. I went in there going as... all right, this is just a drama, which it was, with some action. The word that came to mind watching that movie is uncomfortable. It was really uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, you knew he had that laughing thing going on, and when he's trying to do his comedic routine, you're sitting here like, oh my God, like, when's it happening?
Yeah,
when's
it's like
happening?
Really cringeworthy.
Yes. And yeah.
We should say cringeworthy a lot, but not necessarily in a bad way, right. Though it doesn't make it easier to watch for sure.
It was cringeworthy on purpose. Yeah, it was made. And it gave you a lot of like anxiety, like, because you felt for the guy a little bit there. I do think the. Can we do, like, spoiler?
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool?
Shoot away.
Okay. The final ending scene, I could have done without. It should have ended with him standing on the car.
The, like, hospital scene?
Oh, the hospital
Yeah, scene. I didn't like that
yeah,
hospital
I,
scene.
Yeah, I could have lived with that.
That was kind of odd because it was like, it ends with him on the car, and then it's like, boom, he's in a hospital.
Yeah, I thought like, that didn't flow, but yeah. I loved the interactions between him and Thomas Wayne in the bathroom. I thought that was incredible. Yeah. All I have were negative thoughts. I thought the interaction with him and the therapist was good. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it, man. I really did. I thought Joaquin, I think it was John who nailed it. Like, he's a king of contorting himself in that fucking movie. It was weird.
It's like he doesn't look human.
No. He looks like emaciated or something. Yeah. It was weird. Yeah. Almost like Christian Bale in The Fighter when he got down to that like super skinny weight.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the hell out of it, man. I gave that thing, I think I texted you. I was like, that's a 10 out of 10 for me, man. Like, I went in expecting, meh. And I really enjoyed it. Now, is he the best Joker of all time? You can have that debate.
Time will tell.
I think Heath Ledger could have done Joaquin Phoenix's role better than Joaquin could have done Heath's. That's me.
Okay.
But everybody has their own Joker. Like, Jack Nicholson would have been awful as either of these two guys.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But his sort of thing was... still kind of good for that movie.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's not
right.
like, perfect for it's that like movie. He did a bad job.
No,
right.
Yeah,
they were all doing
Leto,
different things.
We don't have to talk about
right.
Like, Leto's just bad.
But each Joker has a different one. This guy has mental instabilities, which they all do, but he is like a social... society drove him to become what he was in part with the beating and abuse, where, and he wasn't a violent person, where Heath Ledger was violent and, you know, aggressive, that he's not.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he's in like a blissful ignorance of not knowing what he started. I thought that was really cool. I enjoyed it. I really did. And Joaquin Phoenix should get a nod for this.
He definitely really should.
Oh, I have one thing.
Yep, go ahead.
I forgot to mention it last week. It was just one thing about the movie that I really enjoyed, and it was an incredibly small detail: his bad penmanship.
Right.
Because that's a sign of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Serial killers sense, typically have bad. I hope it makes
sense, but he put C-E-N-T-S, like the change, not sense. The other thing I thought with this is this movie was all Joaquin, where the other movies were all Batman.
Yeah.
And this was the first one that, like, where he drove the ship. He drove it. I loved it. I texted Chris as soon as I got out, and I was like, I absolutely love this movie. I'm going to go back and see it again in theaters.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like iffy whether or not I wanted to see it again. I think I'll go see it again at some point, because like there's just, it's a lot to unpack there.
Right.
Mm. Go to the Lux and get a steak dinner.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely some things that were kind of corny, but I mean, I thought that I could have done without a couple scenes in there. I love the how he, when he snapped.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because, you know, we've all been on subways where you see, not to that extent, but we've seen shit like that happen.
Right.
You know, and you're like, oh my God, man, just do something. And he finally snapped. And I was like, oh, well, I felt no remorse for the people. I was like, you got what you deserve, man.
Yeah.
And the funny, I've seen some memes now. It shows the little guy, and then like the door lock, and it says me, and then the girl I really like, and he can't reach the door. That was one of the greatest things, because he literally stabbed the guy in the eye with a spoon or whatever. He had. Was it a spoon?
Scissors.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, oh, I just want to leave, and he just, all right, I'm not gonna kill you, and he lets him go. It showed like the wide range of the character, like he could snap, and he had some compassion, and I was really hoping that the quote love interest was not going to be Harley Quinn. I was really hoping.
Would have been,
or if her name was Quinn or something like that. Right. I would be like, oh, please don't.
You were waiting for a Robin moment,
something. He leaves the room after like confronting her, and then it's like the door shuts and it says Quinn on it, and it's like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was hoping wasn't going to happen. Yeah. I thought the interactions with him and his mom were creepy.
Yeah,
it didn't really do any of that dumb shit other than, you know, killing the Waynes again.
Right. But I think you had to. I think you had to.
You didn't have to, though. You knew it was going to happen. You literally could have watched like them dart into the alley and then followed by a guy. You didn't have to show anything
in like
else.
10 years, there's going to be an animated feature film. Be like, oh, you all know the story of Bruce Wayne.
I mean, they don't
need to die again.
That's what Into the Spider-Verse did with Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, you already know the story. Mm-hmm. Here, 5 seconds. Right. Okay, let's get into it.
Has the Joker always been that much older than Batman?
No.
That thought was a little
yeah, that
weird.
Is odd that he's that much older.
Because he had to be what? Arthur had to be in his 30s?
No, he's got to be in his 40s.
So 40.
Well, Joaquin's in his 40s.
I think you're supposed to be like 30s. Like, he's not supposed to be like super old.
So it's going to be like a 20-year difference?
Yeah, but that's still
that's
a big difference.
They're not contemporaries for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did a nice job making me, I bought it. I was like, oh my God, this is actually like Batman's brother. That's like a nice, or half-brother, whatever. I'm like, that's the twist they're going to put on this. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's different.
I had a feeling too.
And then it came all around. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I have very different feelings about that.
Yeah, clear. I know.
Well, yep. Some other minor, well, not really minor if you're tracking it, I guess, on the internet, news this week, or controversy, whatever you want to call it. Oh, we don't have to spend super long, but I am curious.
Do you want me to pose this as a question?
Sure, Chris.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think Joker was a piece of cinema?
Yes, it was.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. Was it despicable?
No, I think it was.
No, guess who doesn't, though?
Well, see, they didn't say that one, though, to be fair. They didn't really just rag on Marvel.
Yeah, it was just Marvel they were focusing on.
This started, I think this must be promotional stuff for The Irishman, which, you know, Irishman sounds like a comic.
The Irishman.
Awful joke. Martin Scorsese essentially saying that, you know, these movies aren't cinema. They're like, you know, rides at an amusement park. They're just kind of, you know, functions of themselves just to, you know, make money and just fucking entertain people, not, you know, really contribute anything. Otherwise,
with shots fired at amusement parks.
If that's what his definition of cinema is, I definitely think that Joker was. That was a very socially relevant movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joker's like a bad example because it actually does sort of bridge the gap.
It's more or less he's focusing on Endgame.
Which, so then Francis Ford Coppola, director of The Godfather, Apocalypse Now, among other movies.
Jack.
what was that other shitty? Well, whatever. Yeah, he fucking poured fucking gasoline on the fire and said that those movies were despicable, which is really, I mean, like, you know, I understood what Martin Scorsese was saying. Reservoir Coppola is a little bit out of left field on that one for me, but I don't know. I guess overall, I'm not saying there's no worth or anything to these movies, but I do kind of like agree with like Martin Scorsese. Like they're not.
Do you really?
See, they're like popcorn movies.
But here's the thing.
They're not works of art.
Here's the thing. Well, it.
And I'm not saying they're bad because of that.
No. A movie is a work of art within itself, no matter how bad it is.
Right.
Example. I don't understand modern art. I don't like modern art. Is it art? Yes. So like just because you don't understand it or get it, doesn't mean it's not.
Well, I don't think there's like any get about it, though. I think it's like...
But like, what's funny about this to me is the fact that the guy who literally makes the same crime movie over and over and over again is like, oh, these movies, they're stupid. Like,
I mean, first off...
I think his movies, you had to think.
Because,
These you don't. Could that be a greater point? That these are just shut your mind off movies and he's not about that?
Yeah, but he shouldn't bash him as not being cinema.
Right. He should. Because like you look at Endgame, it's like if your problem with like Endgame is, oh, it's all action and no story, it's like then you didn't watch the movie.
You didn't watch Endgame.
Right.
Like I don't understand his argument here. There is no argument. He's just being a grumpy old man.
He really is.
Oh, for sure. Like I don't think anybody...
You don't call it cinema, but literally you're going to the movies to watch this.
It's no matter how you look at it, somebody spent time on this. It is art at the end of the day. There's movies like The Room, which is a horrible piece of art, but it's still enjoyable.
Do you think people 30 years from now will honestly give a shit about these movies?
Possibly,
they will be cherry picked.
Insofar as come back and watch the movies,
it will probably be cherry picked. So you probably get the Avengers. Probably gonna be like
Iron Man. You'll get is like when G starts getting older and you start rewatching these to get her into it because you were passionate about.
But
it.
I think that goes away in a
while. That's a great point, John.
There going to be just another like shit that's out then?
There'll be something
else.
Maybe.
Instead?
So here's my feeling on this. So Sean, you just mentioned you don't like modern art. You're like 99% of people in this world.
Right, but I still acknowledge
that there is
that
a
it's
reason
art.
Why that.
That's just all
and
art
that's
in
because
general.
Of this bullshit elitism that goes on in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas anything that people enjoy, you immediately have to belittle or just squash as not really art.
Yeah.
So
Scorsese's literally doing that.
But it's like, all right, rather than looking at those and going, all right, there's something here that people enjoy. I have to take something from this and try to maybe elevate it a little. Or give it something a little bit more. Instead, you just dismiss it and throw it away. And you wonder why people don't see more like art house movies.
Yeah.
It's because of shit like this. Because you gatekeep and you say, well, if you're not as highbrow as I am, you can't enjoy these movies.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people out there that are like, oh, if you don't know what real cinema is unless you've seen this art house movie and like those people just piss me off.
Yeah, rather than saying, you know what?
These... No, but those people exist.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, it sucks, but...
Rather than saying, you know what? This is all cinema, and we should all appreciate them for what they are. And yes, some of them are more highbrow, and some of them are more lowbrow. And rather than looking at that and going, all right, well, what is these things giving us, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, the purpose of art is to sort of emulate the real world, fun and enjoyment is part of the real world.
Yeah.
So you can't just dismiss these blockbuster movies that everyone enjoys and has fun with because that's part of life.
I mean, at the end of the day, what we do here we literally sit down and we rate whether or not we personally like these movies. That doesn't reflect on other parts of the population.
Oh, yeah, and then you have that whole thing where it's like, yeah, it's also just incredibly subjective.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it just because I didn't like a movie doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
It's hard to refer to things as bad movies if you keep thinking like that then.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I mean, there's such things as bad movies.
Yeah, but it's in the eye of the beholder.
I understand
The Room was good.
No, I know. No, no. I said it was enjoyable. I never said it was good.
In a weird, perverse way, yeah, it actually is kind of enjoyable.
It's the eye of the beholder right there.
No, and I had it.
Like, you love the Godzilla King of Monsters movie, yeah. And sure, it was an entertaining movie. Yeah. According to Scorsese, it was complete trash.
Probably,
still,
yeah.
Coppola.
Yeah,
Coppola. I mean, and like, look, there is sort of, you know, Francis Ford Coppola, I don't know what the fuck his deal was, but.
Well, he hasn't made a good movie in like 30 years, so.
That is an incredibly valid point. But, you know, Martin Scorsese, like, this is shit people are also, like, asking for your opinion, too. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a different level of, like, you know. You're different between just like spouting shit on the street. Well, then if someone just comes out and asks you, and like I don't know, I understand where he's coming from. I'm not saying you're like a bad person for liking comic movies. I mean, I like comic book movies.
Yeah, but like this is also coming started from the guy who made Hugo, which
what,
is like
what
a
do you
kid's
want to talk
movie.
About?
Like, it, like just think about like
have you seen Hugo?
I've seen most of it.
Okay,
it's just it. It's just there. It's like it's not like this like
which
amazing
I
film.
I actually read an article about this whole controversy, and this person made the point with Hugo where it takes a lot of influence from what's the French movie?
Oh, yeah,
First
yeah,
Man
yeah,
on
yeah.
the Moon, which is basically like a silent movie comic book movie. Where it's just like it's a bunch of special effects and it just like is a fun movie.
Yeah. Go on, John.
I mean, like the Lumiere movies are like interesting because they're like fucking movies in the same way that like people thought the fucking train was going to come through the screen. Like it's not I mean it's like saying Avatar, which I've actually called Avatar like feels like a Disney ride, and I stick by that, and I don't even mean that as a pejorative. Like I mean that as like it's fun and interesting and a different take on it.
Yeah.
But like I don't know, man. I you know, and I guess I don't have a great answer to this one, but like I know what he's saying, and like I don't entirely disagree. I mean, these movies aren't exactly pushing the fucking boundaries at all.
Not that
all art has to be ooh edgy.
Yeah,
I get that.
Are there big questions? Are there like even like moral fucking? You know.
Yeah, and like I kind of agree with you, but like my larger point is like who the fuck cares?
No, I fucking hate film snobs.
Yeah, it's like...
And that's what he's being.
You have to...
Pretty much. It doesn't mean he's wrong, but, like, yeah, pretty much.
But he is wrong, though. That's the problem.
Where it's like, with Scorsese...
And it sucks because it is coming from Scorsese.
Yeah, and it's just showing that he's just so out of touch with cinema.
It's like he wasn't that harsh on it. He was just saying, well, they're just amusement park rides.
It's Coppola.
But, and, like, also, it's... Like, he's doing the promotional tour, and he's going to get questions like this.
Right. He better hope the Irishman's fucking good.
And I think he was, by the way, I think he did say, like, in his whole thing, like, I've seen a couple of them, and they're just kind of the same movie.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, fair.
Which
it's
we've
not
all
for
said.
You.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, can't you kind of say that about most of his gangster movies?
I mean, like, there's literally two that are like the
Casino.
Casino Goodfellas. And Goodfellas. Or, which, Casino's like a knockoff of Goodfellas, but, like, I'm not going to say, like, somebody has made, like, two out of, like, 30 movies that are the same, right. And it's, like, you know.
I don't know. I've
I guess Departed, too.
Who did
Departed?
Did
Departed's a little bit different.
Who did The Town?
Ben Affleck. Was that Ben Affleck? Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it's dumb that he's even, like.
What do you think?
It just shows.
He's getting spoon-fed the questions. They know they're going to get something out of it. That's why they did it.
Well, at this point, yeah.
They want people doing exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, right. I'm not pissed at Scorsese. I'm pissed at Coppola,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're despicable. Like, okay, dude, chill out.
Chill.
How dare people have fun?
Anyway.
He must be trying to get new financing for Hugo, too.
Let's talk about fucking edgy comic book shit.
No, we'll get Bull and Audible. We're going to save that for...
Okay. Pulling an Audible.
At the end?
Well, we'll do two
Pulling
more.
Pulling an Omaha.
And then that.
Are we talking Watchmen or
El Camino right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's do El Camino right now. Just
All right.
You guys finally. All right, real quick. Yep.
Ryan, what did you think of it? I thought it was like, yeah, that's fine. I didn't really add anything.
No. I have two words that can describe that.
Yeah.
Enjoyable. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
I didn't find like, it closed a loop, if you will, but it didn't.
Right after a series finale?
What's that?
Wasn't it right after?
Literally, quote, 2 hours later or something like that. Okay. I mean, it was cool to see, like, Badger and all those other guys come back. They did, like, their goodbyes. And, like, I know I wanted a little more fanfare. You know, I wanted a little more of something. Mm-hmm. And you got a little tease of it. And I was like, oh, yes. But it was a flashback. You know, I wanted more of that. But apparently he's dead. I thought the coolest thing, though, was the bird's eye view of Jesse stripping that fucking apartment looking for the money, how he was like back. Remember that shot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got. These guys are like fucking like Michael Jordan of doing like a specific kind of thing. Like these like weird, crazy shots.
It was cool. So basically, he goes in, he's looking for all this money. He's breaking down walls and ripping all this stuff apart. And then he's going from room to room. And the camera, like, zooms out and goes up and goes over the entire apartment like a blueprint. And you see Jesse just bouncing around from room to fucking room. It was unexpected. Yeah. It was really cool. I enjoyed it. I thought the scene with the vacuum cleaner guy was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight for me.
Right.
Like,
it was just, it was unnecessary. At the end, I was like, really?
And it's like, you know, we're going to go track down this fucking welder guy and shoot him because I guess he's a bad guy.
Because he made the cage that held him.
Right. And but still, though, you know, the neo-Nazis kind of still, I don't know. Like, I'm not like, oh, he's an awful guy for making the cage. Although, like, I mean, I'm not saying he isn't, but like, it's a weird, like, let's come back and kill this guy.
Just unnecessary. I was really excited for it because I love the series. It was just, I think, unnecessary.
Well, yeah, unnecessary, but not like, I'm happy they did it, but like,
it brought me back into that world for a little bit, which I wanted more of, and I wanted them to do more of that show. So I mean, and it was what, 10 years? 10 years ago?
Yeah.
So I mean, it brought me back in. It took me in. 10 years took me
from
out
the start. Yeah,
from the start.
Did you, when I was watching it, just the skinny Pete and Badger scenes?
Yep.
They I got like a real like hankering for like, fuck, dude, why don't they just make like a little show like about like these guys and like the like skeevy
like a Better Call Saul dealing, but with them?
Yeah, like something like, you know, like almost like how the first couple seasons felt of like they're just like pushing drugs to like all these lowlives and shit. Like, I don't know, I thought that could be interesting.
I think they have a chemistry between the two of them that kind of works. Like, and I don't, even though they're bad guys, you root for all the anti-heroes in this show.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, and like, it was cool, like how he's like, all right, man, like, you take the car and I'm gonna go do this. And it was sad because you knew like that was the last you were gonna see of them, because they focused on it. But I it didn't wrap anything extra up for me. It didn't give me any more like oomph at the end of it. I almost prefer the ending of the show as opposed to this ending.
Yeah, I think I'm at the same point, and it's like, this is a lot of Todd,
right?
And it wasn't really. Wasn't clamoring for
it. It was
more
a fun
time.
Ride, but I feel like I'm back at the beginning. Like, I didn't get to a new destination.
Right.
And did he write the letter to his girlfriend? Is that who?
No, it was her son.
What was his son?
The
her
guy
son.
He got poisoned.
Yeah, with the ricin.
You know. Oh, man. Lilies of the Valley.
I was hoping. I am a little surprised they didn't have anything, like, even on the news that they. I was hoping for, like, an interview on the TV with Skyler, something.
Just give me something. Easter egg sort of thing.
Yeah, nothing at all. I was like, but you know what? At the end, I think you would have been throwing too much into an hour or two movie.
For a 2 hour, which was essentially just, you know, two episodes.
Yeah, so it was good. I mean, hey, it did a hell of a thing for Netflix.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, the creators and the directors show, like, haven't lost a step, that's for sure.
No, they were on. It felt like they just filmed it and just put it in the vault and they just brought it, like, you know, they filmed it right
almost,
after the series and just went, here you go, 10 years later.
Yeah.
Sam, you've been trying to say something for 5 minutes.
My whole thing was just,
did you watch?
Watch it. I just thought this might be an interesting question for you guys.
Sure.
It's a two-parter. Is one, is this nothing but fan service? And two, is this good fan service? Because there's good fan service, and then there's just like watching someone jerk off in a corner.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, there's definitely fan service in it. I mean, like, as a whole, I wouldn't say it's fan service, but it's like, you know, you check in with all these people who, like, you haven't seen in a while, so it's a little bit, it's not overbearing, though, I didn't think.
No, I think Vince wanted to keep going. You could tell by the way he did this, I think he wanted to do more of the show. And then, but everybody was just like, all right, it's over.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it was a nice completed show, which kind of made this so odd.
It ended well.
Yeah.
It ended well because, I mean, I love the way The Shield ended, but there's some other shows that have ended. I'm like, you could be, really? That's how you're going to end this like awesome show?
Is The Wire on that list?
I've never watched The Wire.
Okay.
I've never watched The Wire full day. And I've watched one episode of The Sopranos.
Yeah, that doesn't.
It was out before I was like really into this stuff, so I could go back and watch it. But
just watch a Scorsese movie.
Wow, Jesus Christ! Before
Sopranos is art.
Well, yeah,
is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Just shitting on Scorsese tonight.
Yeah, I didn't realize we're so prejudiced against Italians on this podcast. Pretty cool direction we're taking this.
No, it was good. I mean, if you've seen Breaking Bad, you're not doing yourself you're doing yourself a disservice by skipping it because right. It just pulls you in. Pinkman or whatever, Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was good.
He did really good. He went right back into the role, and it was weird to hear like. No, yo, bitch. You heard maybe one or two bitches, but it wasn't. I was expecting a lot of that, and I was going to be. Please don't do that.
I like that we got that little flashback scene with him and Walt in the diner, and he was, you know, up on that level. So, yeah.
Yo, bitch, you want to eat something?
Right.
Right.
That tipping was cool. The guy. Wait, for
was
water.
Was this before they got together?
No, this is like when they start going out into the desert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had. They brought back Jessica Jones real quick. I like how they brought back Mike, who was sneakily one of my favorite characters.
Mike's great.
So they basically, when there were things that you assumed happened in the show, they did flashbacks to show you what actually happened. It was, you know, like we knew at the end of the show that they killed Mike. And then, but because Jesse walks down with him and walks back without him, well, you see what goes on in that scene.
Gotcha.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna see it again. I mean, if it's on, and I'm gonna, I may.
Yeah, but. I might go watch again, but I'm not gonna go watch it any more than I will just go back and rewatch all of Breaking Bad.
No, I would watch Breaking Bad before I.
Yeah,
watch
for sure, for right. sure. Like Chris was saying, like, is it worth watching if I haven't? It's like, no, just keep watching Breaking Bad.
Right. Yeah. Stick with Breaking Bad. I mean, this if it stood alone, I mean, it wouldn't be awful if it stood alone.
No.
But you wouldn't understand a lot of things, and whoever the hell played Todd. Kudos, man.
Jesse Plemons, yeah.
Creepy dude. Creepy dude. Would you like some soup? I thought he did a great job.
He's, yeah, something else.
Yep.
All right. So what are we talking about next, Chris?
Between Two Ferns. Quick hit on Between Two Ferns.
Okay.
We're going to skip this one, though.
Skip what one?
Little Monster. We can just talk what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Then Between Two Ferns.
All right, Between Two Ferns.
I don't know if you want to give a synopsis of the movie.
It's
almost impossible.
Yeah. No, the synopsis is, so if you've never seen Zach Galifianakis' show Between Two Ferns on Funny or Die, then you have no idea what this movie's about, and you should just skip it altogether. But if you've seen those bits and you understand his type of humor,
right?
It's basically a movie based around, was it 10... interviews he has to do.
Yeah.
10 celebrity interviews around the
country.
Which
you can watch the full interviews online. Which I've seen the Brie Larson one, which is hilarious.
Is it? Okay.
Oh my God.
I think I might watch a couple of those.
So Chris, did you watch Between Two Ferns, the movie, right?
Yeah, the movie, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Between Two Ferns?
I've seen a few of the episodes. Yeah.
So like he's got a specific brand of humor.
100%.
Yeah, and that's totally like
this whole movie.
Zach Galifianakis, we've seen now since like The Hangover, is like
even
a character
that.
And shit. Well, no, but this is like
Out Cold is what I'm thinking of. That was one of his best movies, I think.
Yeah,
but this is like him.
He still uses that, by the way. Like when people are like, "Oh, I'm a big fan," he's like, "Oh, you liked Out Cold?"
But his,
I loved him.
But this movie, is like so. Him, you know, this is the full feed of him, you know, like unfiltered.
I
love it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Will Ferrell in this movie as Will Ferrell.
I honestly, I didn't like him. I didn't like him.
Yeah, I could see it being hit or miss. It was a little miss for me at first, but then like when he's like on the scooter or whatever. It's, you know, here's my quick
thing. I said Tokyo time.
I think, we've gotten it with Will Ferrell where like he goes off and makes these movies, like maybe Holmes and Watson isn't a good case. So yeah. They do rip on it, which is great. You know, he makes all these movies and like, the ones that like he's not writing, they're kind of shitty.
Yeah.
They're like almost always kind of shitty, okay. By and large.
Yeah.
Or have been lately.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
And
I would
like,
say lately, yeah.
Same kind of deal with Zach Galifianakis too.
Yes.
So when they make projects that they actually want to make, which is like this case, like that Spanish movie Will Ferrell made, yeah. Like Step Brothers, that
Casa
sort of shit.
De mi padre.
Right. Yeah. That's the stuff I always like a little bit more.
Yes.
It's a little weirder. It doesn't always necessarily work, but I just think it's worth it on those.
Yeah.
And like this is for me a Netflix movie that like isn't any different from any of the other ones. Like, yeah, it was fine. Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and rewatch it at some point, but I'm not exactly rushing back. But you know what? That's all I really expected out of this.
Right. So, no. Yeah. I didn't expect much out of this.
I expected a movie equivalent of stand up comedy.
Yeah,
because Netflix started doing those stand up comedian shows, specials or whatever.
Did you see the Chappelle one?
Yes.
Oh, that was incredible. We should
hilarious.
Next time.
Okay, hilarious. And then, but I like the best part about this was the interviews itself, and then you could cherry pick because there were some where I was just cold. I couldn't laugh. I couldn't find anything to laugh about, and then. You know, the Matthew McConaughey one, I didn't laugh so much.
Really?
I didn't laugh so much. But then the Benedict Cumberbatch one, I'm fucking
laughing. He's like, why do you keep saying Martin Freeman was the only good part of Black Panther? I fucking lost it at that.
It's just... You cherry pick the ones that you think are good, and some are bad, some are good, and that's just the way. But the best was the end. The end credits where there's like the
bloopers.
The bloopers.
Yeah, everybody breaking.
Everybody breaking down.
Yeah, oh my God.
What's it? John Hamm was just going to keep it together.
Yeah, even in the one that aired, the stuff that aired, he was just like dying. Like he couldn't keep it together.
He was struggling. He kept moving and shifting in his chair.
You could tell he was holding back.
But it was a good comedy factor for some of the things. The thing is, I don't think the ending would have paid off if you just like fast forwarded to the end and watched that. I think you had to watch at least the interviews beforehand. Yeah. You can skip the Will Ferrell, you can skip the little like group back and forth and the whole Christy Teigen, John Legend, just skip that whole thing.
Although that was hilarious. I loved that part.
Really? I thought it was
I thought it was all right.
I was dying.
I mean, I think it was really just like a excuse to just kind of make a big budget version of this, and I don't know, it's like to me it's, you know, it's a small movie that hits the mark.
He wasn't gonna do stand up. This is probably the next best thing.
Who?
Zach Galifianakis.
He still does
stand-up. For Netflix, though.
No, yeah, but... Well, this was Funny or Die.
What was... At the end, is like, they're filming, and he's like, oh, we'll turn this into our teacher. And he's like, what? Nobody's going to watch this. It's like our class. He's like, get out of my office. It could have been in 3D.
Get the frick out of my office. What did you say? I said frick, but now get the fuck out of my office.
It should have been in 3D. Anyway.
No,
it was a decent comedy.
If you understand that style of comedy, which is like along the same lines of like Tim and Eric.
Yeah, it's very deadpan.
Like if you enjoy that, I mean, I definitely recommend this movie.
Yeah, I wasn't really.
Which I'm going to be seeing Mr. America one of these days, which is based off of On Cinema by Tim Heidecker. So be prepared for
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. What's
now
left
we can
on
go
list?
On that one.
Okay. Do we want to talk Zombieland?
Do you want to do that first or save Watchmen last?
Yeah, we'll
do Watchmen last at this point.
All right.
Go Zombie.
Zombieland spoilers upcoming. Maybe.
We're going to have to spoil Zombieland.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of know.
You already know what's going to happen anyway. So Zombieland 2 Double Tap came out Friday. And it's actually third in the box office behind Maleficent and Joker, which is shocking. They didn't dethrone Joker, which is I thought they would. But anyway.
Joker's still number one, then Maleficent two.
No, Maleficent took one.
Number one. Oh, really? They kicked Joker
That's
off.
That's Julie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that.
Sam saw the first one.
I did see the first one.
Yeah. Same here.
It's interesting.
Okay.
But like, Zombieland, though.
Sleepy.
But Zombieland. But Zombieland.
Yeah.
But Zombieland. Anyway, this picks up 10 years later.
Yeah.
After Zombieland 1, which Sorry, everything just went black. Are we good?
It's fine. We're just fine. A screensaver, Chris. Sorry. Computers two screensaver.
Right next to my face. Sorry. Darkness. Anyway, Zombieland 2 is not dark at all. It's picks up right where it left off, pretty much. 10 years later, they're at the White House chilling, and everybody's kind of grown up. Relationships are kind of getting solidified.
Yeah.
What's it? Emma Stone's kind of freaking out.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next step. And then the little girl wants to expand her horizons.
Yeah, because she's been with them since she was like 8, and now she's 18 and wants to... Like,
what is it? Another Christmas gift. It's another gun.
Yeah.
Because that's all Woody Harrelson gets her.
His character might be one of my favorites in a lot of movies. I mean, he's just freaking great in that role.
He is.
He really is. The movie picks up, like you said, right where it left off, and it doesn't feel like it was 10 years ago. I mean, they poke fun at it being 10 years old. They flat out come out and say it, but it was fun. It was a good ride, man. I took Rachel to see it. She just, I don't know, whatever. She said yes. I was kind of surprised. It was just shut your mind off, watch some zombies get killed in a cool way. You know, zombie kill of the week, zombie kill of the century, and you know, that was kind of it. I mean, they had Luke Wilson, Rosario Dawson, some other people pop up.
Madison, I forgot her name though.
Madison.
Madison popped up. The rebound.
Yep.
And
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was what I thought it was. I wasn't expecting cinematic art. I was expecting to laugh and enjoy a zombie movie, and that's exactly what it was. It had the humor. It had the rules or the commandments. It didn't focus on Twinkies. There was more like jokes about clowns rather than Twinkies this time.
Yep.
There
was. You know what's... It's good. It was good in a sense that it was 10 years later, and they did pull back on some of the I forget what it's called, but pull back some of the stuff from the first movie, and then or call back for some of the stuff of the first movie. There was one instance that it was forced, just one, and that was it. And it was at the end. It was at the very end, when the zombies are overrunning the hippie land.
Yep.
I forget it was. I forget Babylon. What he said. Yeah, was it Babylon? Yep. Yeah, I forget what it was. Woody Harrelson who said it. It wasn't Nut Up or Shut Up. It was, I can't remember it, but it was like forced.
It was actually spit on your tits or something like that. It was just because it rhymes, it doesn't.
But he said one joke that was kind of a callback, and then he said another one immediately afterwards, which was another callback. It didn't fit. But aside from that, I mean, the chemistry between the four leads,
right?
It picked it's up there. Right where it's left off, and that's hard to do in certain movies, especially a decade later.
Right, and the movie's called Zombieland. You're not expecting a 5-star masterpiece. Mm. You're expecting what you got, and the movie delivered for me, man. I mean, I enjoy it.
Oh yeah, me too. I had a blast.
It's a fun movie. It's fun. You go to that movie like an Avengers thing, and I had fun in that movie, and I was. You know, I mean, the way they killed some things, where he's like, oh, no, I'm a tourist. How come save me? And he like uses a jack and knocks over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I mean, that's right. You know, it's stupid and it's completely unrealistic, but it's enjoyable. And that's all I wanted. Yep. And I just wanted to be entertained in this movie. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking to have my mind blown. I wanted entertainment.
I was a little concerned about the Luke Wilson character. And I was right. That one wasn't as good. But the guy, I forget his name, who did the commandments, not the rules.
Yep.
That was kind of hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. Hit the nail right on the head. So,
I enjoyed it.
I think it was worth it. Yeah. I think it was worth a watch.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. If you're not huge into it, like I know a couple of you guys haven't seen them. It's a Netflix or a Hulu thing.
I've seen the first one. Second one, I'm like... maybe wait till it comes out.
Yeah, it was kind of like an HBO kind of movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's how I watched it.
If it hits Netflix or something, you just put it on. And
I'm not going to go have to see
spend,
it in theaters.
No. You don't have to spend money.
Chris,
you
want to give it a rating then?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been doing ratings don't have it today. Up,
but don't worry about that. I'm going to give this one a 7.3.
All right.
It's kind of... Sevens are more like my sequel range.
All right.
You want to give it a number just to give it?
Yeah. I'm right there. I'm like a 7.4, 7.5. Yeah, it was... What I expected.
No.
7.5. I agree. Chris, why didn't you like it?
I laughed. I had a couple of martinis beforehand. I was laughing the whole movie.
You might have missed the good parts. You went to the bathroom twice in 99 minutes.
That's just what happens when you get old, son.
I'm older than you!
By like 3 weeks.
Those are very important 3 weeks.
Yeah. Bladder training.
Shit develops in 3 weeks, son. Anyway, all right. Let's move on to the bread and butter tonight, hasn't been... Which has been pretty much everything else.
Get into the bread and butter at the end of the meal, I guess.
Yeah, right? Or how about the coup de grace, the cake. chocolate mousse cake, which I also had on Friday. Anyway,
whoa.
Watchmen.
Cake.
All right.
Let's just talk about the cake, man.
Yeah.
We went to, I don't know if I want to say the restaurant.
Who cares?
They're not paying us. The Colonial Blackington Inn in Attleboro.
Oh, okay.
You know they do Grubhub? Hey,
they are a sponsor. All right.
You can do Grubhub and get it delivered to your house, you know.
Really? I didn't know that. But it was a good, it was a,
you we could, haven't been there in a while.
We, the last time we went was with, one of the grandparents or something like that.
Something, yeah.
Some point we'll get to Watchmen.
Anyway, okay. Watchmen. So sorry, go
food,
ahead.
Food I'll came let, up, and we got
to talk about. No, I don't. I don't have a quippy segue here. Sam, introduce us to Watchmen.
So, HBO's got a new series, which
you don't say.
Yeah, yeah, they're desperately trying to keep that Game of Thrones audience called Watchmen, based on the graphic novel / movie, although I don't know how much this is based on the movie, but
it's based on the graphic novel taking place afterwards,
years after,
yeah, like 30 years is, yeah. I think
it takes place in 2019, so our modern times.
Which is weird because I never think of that movie or the comic book taking place in the 80s, which they do.
It's the 80s.
Always kind of funny.
Well, it's weird because, like, Nixon's on his fifth term. That's why.
Right. And it's, you know, like, dumpy New York. So you always think it's, like, the 70s or whatever. When it doesn't really get cleaned up until, you know, 90s or whatever. Anyway, this doesn't take place anywhere near here. It's in Tulsa.
Yes. It actually starts off with a real event.
Yep.
With the race riots in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you don't know, is probably the worst race riot in American history.
And it was very graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
Very graphic, which, you know, good.
It's which is
that's what they need. If you're trying to get that GOT
drew me in.
Audience, you need it.
It drew me in immediately.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Can I? All right. So there's a lot to unpack with Watchmen.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Can I just big picture before we get into it?
Go ahead.
I was very shocked at just how much, like, money they threw at this.
How much did they throw it at?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But it looks like a lot.
Yeah,
you can tell. There's some dough in here.
Yeah, like, I mean...
I mean, they had to pay for a whole bunch of cattle. And
a spaceship.
There were a lot of CGI cattle in that scene.
Yeah. They borrowed the cattle from Westworld, please. But yeah, no, I was shocked at how much this is seemingly like a tentpole movie to them for what is otherwise a very kind of weird series. Like, Watchmen's not... We're not making a Batman series.
Yeah.
And
it's a niche audience.
Yeah, and Damon Lindelof, despite, you know, I mean, like, Lost was a giant hit. Leftovers was a very kind of niche show. I mean, I loved it, but it's a very kind of niche show. And that's sort of his recent track record. So I was just kind of floored by the whole thing, how much, like, they're making this seem like a Game of Thrones type. You know, obviously nothing's ever going to get... Or at least in the first episode, going to get to the same level production-wise. But, yeah, they threw a lot at it. So,
do you want viewer numbers?
Sure.
1.5 million for the first
episode. That's not great, but that's not bad either.
Yeah, not great, but not bad.
That's
a little bit more than a CW TV show.
Yeah, right. And one's network numbers compared to cable is always just...
Yep, I agree.
You know, you especially premium cable on top of that. Mm-hmm. But 1.5, that's pretty good.
For an HBO opening season
episode?
Does that count streams? Do they do...
I don't know.
I watched it via streams.
Yeah, so did I.
Me too.
I did too. We are all children of parents with HBO.
No, I have HBO.
No, I have HBO too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
so you two are...
make a fucking liar out of me.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into this, because I found this to be just very interesting. I haven't rewatched it, although it's really more just like I just haven't yet. I probably will before the next episode comes out. It's definitely a different take. So it's always, you know, my only real experience with the series was the movie, which, in some ways was very, people said it's very much stuck to what was in the comic. You've read it, Sam, right?
Yes, I've read it and seen the movie. Yeah.
All right. So how would you describe the movie's relationship to the comics versus, you know, just quickly, I guess?
So I think the comics, I mean, the movie like thematically moves a little bit away from the comics, but in terms of the events, yeah, it keeps on par.
Right, with one giant exception at the end.
Yeah, right. And they cut out a whole thing with the psychiatrist, but
right.
But you think they cut that out more via time?
That more has to do with theme than anything else. Well, but
it was already at like 2.5 hours.
So it's safe to say this has nothing to do with the books.
Well, it's a spiritual sequel.
No, it's not a spiritual sequel. It's a sequel. Yeah, but it's set 30 years later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's set in the same world.
I would actually say this is actually more of a sequel to the book than the movie, because if you remember that scene where it starts raining squid.
Yes.
Which is a reference to the interdimensional squid. Yes. And they even mentioned, do you think interdimensional beings are a threat?
Right.
Right.
Which is not in the movie, it's Dr. Manhattan who's made the threat.
Right. Yeah.
Not an interdimensional being.
Right.
Okay. So the biggest departure for me from the sort of feeling of the book is I think, you know, there's a lot of issues with race in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's one, I guess, not something I was entirely expecting. I'm not going to really pass judgment so much because I think it's just an incredibly complex world. Like, I mean, I think, you know, on one hand, you have these, like, you know, white supremacist Rorschach followers. But then on the other hand, the cops are, like, beating the shit out of them and, like, denying them, like, basic civil rights and shit. So it's not like there's clear...
With the graphic novel, it kind of matches the graphic novel, because the graphic novel kind of has those themes where it's like, nobody's really good in this situation.
Yeah. Right, which I love.
Criminals were like bad in that graphic novel, but also they're like, the heroes are kind of assholes too.
Cops are less bad.
Yeah. It's like, was it the show where the line was like, some people think the world is black and white, but there's like...
The people think the world is colored, but we know it's black and white.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Which was from, like, them say that thing at the end where they're like, upcoming.
Okay,
in this episode.
That's right.
So, all right. We've been, I guess, walking kind of around it. What were kind of our overall thoughts? I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm really into it. I thought, I couldn't believe, like, how quickly, like, I was hoping it was a double premiere, like a double pilot, like a 2-hour long episode, because... I kind of just wanted more, and I love world building. I love being thrown in the middle of something and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And there's like, I know just enough about the Watchmen world where like, I knew like, you know, what the squids were or when like Robert Redford's president.
Yeah. That was cool. Like, I like that.
You know, they talk about like Redfordations, but like, they never really tell you what it is, but it's, you know, like,
you kind of know what it is.
I found all that to be really cool, and I thought the, you know, having essentially sort of like one nice kind of contained story in the first episode where, you know, they go, like, you know, they go to the house and then they fight him back or whatever, and then they end up killing Don Johnson, or actually you really don't even know what happens with him.
Mm.
There's just a lot of mystery, a lot to figure out, and I think it's got me hooked.
Yeah, you also have to figure out what's up with the 102-year-old guy or whatever.
Who's the kid at the beginning?
Who's the kid in the beginning, and also is outside the bakery, who asks, "Do you think I could lift 200 pounds?"
Yeah,
that was
so reference. Like something's up with this guy. But I'm more or less confused about why the white supremacists are all Rorschachs.
Well, I think what happened, and I'm sure they'll explain sort
of something. Yeah, I hope they explain.
I think what happened is, so, you know, Rorschach writes everything in these journals at the end.
The diaries.
And then mails it to... So I think all this stuff gets... Well...
We don't know that in the show, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think some of that, like, leaks out. And there's, well, like,
the implication in the graphic novel is that, like, he sends it to this, like, far-right, crazy newspaper.
Oh, okay.
And... he sends it to them, and the implication is they're going to print it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I guess, just guessing, but they could change it, but I'm just guessing, is it gets printed in that newspaper, so it gets the whole, like, this was Ozymandias who did this.
But it's not really taken seriously.
It's not taken seriously, but it gets a hold on, like, the far right.
Because they talk about when, I had no idea what the guy's name is. I'm not going to know what anybody of the guy's name, people's, like, you know, character names.
No, yeah, not yet.
The guy who, Tim Blake Nelson, the guy who's got, like, a saran wrap
that's,
on
yes.
his
that's fantastic. I love
yeah,
that
Yeah, I
mask.
Love it, yeah.
Oh, it looks so, and that whole
Buster
scene.
Scruggs, yeah.
Yeah, Buster
and the,
Scruggs,
and the,
yeah.
What was it called? It was, like, a bubble or...
The pod.
Yeah. God, creepy.
But when he's talking to the guy, he's like, do you believe interdimensional things are a fabrication of the government? Which they sort of are, right?
Yeah. Well, Osmania is not the government, but...
Right.
Yeah. It is a fabrication.
But Looking Glass is the guy's is the
Looking
character's
Glass,
name.
Yeah. Yeah, solid names.
Who's Jeremy Irons?
He is Osmanius.
Okay, although that's what I thought. That's what
really
I thought,
say.
But we did.
Which, no,
we did.
I actually looked that up. I was like, what's his character name? I'm like, oh, that is
it was probably it is the credits, Osmanius. But they don't actually say the name.
Really creepy character to begin with.
Oh, well, the introduction is him naked sitting in a chair.
And her scrubbing his leg.
There's something up with his helmet.
All right, do you think they're robots?
I was getting that vibe.
This whole show is literally Westworld.
Are they robots and it's not even the... Wow, okay.
No, that's the feeling I get because they don't know how to bake a cake. Because remember, they're like, "Oh, we use the honeycomb," and he bites it, and he's like, it's delicious."
The bee's knees.
Yeah, it's the bee's knees.
He created Westworld, dude. This whole thing is Westworld.
No, he would be the guy though who would just fucking create Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
Though,
right,
like that's he should be in that show.
But yeah, like I'm getting a definite vibe because there's only two of them.
Right.
That run the house.
And you would make, you know, a boy and a girl one or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You have the maid and the butler.
They call him master, too.
Right.
Which usually is like a
and
creation.
Which really
she was
creepy.
Completely okay rubbing his leg while he was naked.
Yeah.
So, right. She was, like, into that, so...
Yeah. I don't know what really...
strong robot vibes.
what it forebodes that they're robots, but yeah, I buy it. Yeah. It's a low-level conspiracy theory right now. We need our, like, Rorschach's, like, conspiracy theory.
I don't think this is conspiracy theories. I don't think this show is conspiracy. I think this is you think is going to happen with this.
That's... But I think there's a huge web, and there's a giant mystery, and if I know anything about Damon Lindelof's with Lost and Leftovers, it ain't getting solved, so fuck off. But maybe this is a different show.
No, I'm like super interested in like how like Ozymandias fits into all this.
Yeah.
Also, I know Dr. Manhattan's going to show up.
He did.
Like, well, yeah, we see him like on Mars.
But yeah. there's a just trailer where he's on Earth.
But like he's on Earth, and I'm like, all right. Like my running like conspiracy theory is the old man is Dr. Manhattan.
Okay.
Because like he predicts the murder and. Dr. Manhattan can see through time.
Oh, okay. He says that at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like wait, what old man? In the wheelchair?
Yeah. I'm like, is that like either a creation of Dr. Manhattan or is that actually Dr. Manhattan in hiding?
You got the wheels spinning, man, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you fired up on a show in a
long
time.
So what
I haven't seen him watch a show that we've watched in a long time.
So what are your takes on the guy wearing a panda mask?
You mean panda?
Yeah, which I just found to be incredible because it's like, what the fuck is even going on here?
Right. I thought there were a lot of, like John said, a lot of world building, a lot of like cool details. Like, all right, so they don't have a weapon. The cops don't have weapons.
They have
to
be unlocked.
Well, first of all, the cops are wearing masks to hide their IDs.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Which is awesome.
I love that.
Cops don't even know most of the other cops, you know, because they're all in that, like, that foyer room, and they're all wearing, like, panda masks or whatever.
And their family has to lie.
Yep. About what they do. They have to go through, do you feel threatened, and are they armed before they release your weapon?
Right.
So
anybody see any, like, foreshadowing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to come up again.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it's just the rules of the world more than anything else,
right.
You know?
And then they have to... take it to get the weapons freed for what 48 hours or something like that. They have to like 2/3 of the police department. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, but it's just the one guy in the silver mask. Do you feel threatened? He's like, yeah. And then the red. Yep. I think is the other guy.
I mean,
the next time you see red,
dude,
he's got like
I'm with
M16. just all decked out.
I am all in. It's cool. I know nothing about Watchmen. I mean, I saw the movie once when it came out. I am green as goose shit. I enjoy the hell out of it, man. I think it was. You know, her flying to the bake shop, coming out in the fucking Batmobile over there, you know, and kicking the sweet ass Monte Carlo, you know, kicking down the guy's door and dragging him in. And I thought the interactions there were great.
Even the like the subtle thing where it's like he has boards on his door, so you know this isn't the first time someone's kicked in his door.
Yeah. And then it also brought something real when the wife hid something from the husband, and then somebody unknowingly throws the wife under the bus. You know about like how they didn't go see Black Oklahoma because like the babysitter canceled.
Yeah.
And the husband's like, what babysitter? You know, that was cool.
I really like Don Johnson doing a little bit of coke there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then singing.
Yep. Yeah. It was good, man. I mean, it was interesting. It pulled me right in. I think the mass thing and the fact that like they're white supremacists and now the cops are so scared of them because something happened on what was it, White Monday or White Sunday?
Yeah, there was a day that
yeah,
I think they like killed like
one day.
Yeah, like white night like killings or something like that.
Yeah, it probably sounds like all those Seventh Army.
Seventh Cavalry
probably went around and killed a whole shit ton of cops, which is why now they hide their faces. Which I think is a great. I mean. Take Watchmen out. Take the fact it's Watchmen out of it, and I would still be watching this show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, didn't Regina King's character? She got attacked during the White Knight.
And she retired and became a baker.
Yeah. Well, we all clearly. Know
I did air quotes. Did not get picked up on the microphone.
And like Vietnam is like the 51st state. Like,
yeah, that's right.
There's just so many.
There's just so many things that you just. Cool, like the squid thing. I freaked. I was not freaking out. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I was a little confused at it too.
Because I didn't read the books or anything, so I have no idea.
Sam, do you have any idea what the deal is? Like, why they're getting things afterwards?
My only assumption is they're either Ozymandias or the government is. Trying to keep up the lie.
Okay.
That, well, technically, the squid is from a different universe. So maybe that just After Effects, or my vibe is they're just trying to keep up the lie that, yeah, another universe invaded us.
Right.
Oh, jeez. That just threw my mind into overdrive right now.
Buckle up.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can't wait for this. And I said before, there's a bunch of pigs in an episode. And then the trailer for the next... Did you see the trailer for next week's episode?
Yeah.
It's like things to come. There's just like a bunch of pigs running through a bank or something like that.
Yeah, we got... It looks like Gene Smart from Legion is going to show up as the...
oh, yes.
As Lori Blake, who's the Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm in.
And I really want to know what's up with this TV... Like. Monumental TV program that's about to air about the Watchmen.
Oh, American Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah, the like American whatever story ripoff. Like.
Yeah. Or it's about the Watchmen. Like, I'm very interested in seeing what's up with that.
There was like a bunch of like Easter eggs to the comics because I remember like on the desk of the chief was Under the Mask, which is a book, like a tell-all book by the original Night Owl.
Oh, yeah, he's reading it. And I think he's reading it in the movie. Yeah, the original Night Owl.
It's about to come out in the book.
It, yeah.
And like that's on his desk. And they're just like a bunch of little like Easter eggs and stuff. Which luckily it's like you don't need to know. It's just there for like people like me.
You know, it's just cool. You know, like I remember just getting that first trailer, and it seemed like a giant world. But it was all the stuff we saw was just from that episode.
Mm. Yeah.
So, really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's continuing to air on Sunday nights on HBO.
Yep.
Yes.
Or on the app the following day. Actually, I think it's immediately after.
Oh, it's immediate, buddy. Let me tell you.
Do they have any plans on HBO on doing anything like historically based, like another like Chernobyl type thing? Is anybody ready?
I haven't seen anything. They are. I don't know if we talked about this on the Apple one. The guys who did like the, you know, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks. They're gonna do essentially like Band of Brothers, but like the air war over Europe.
Okay.
So that and they're gonna get a shitload of money.
That's a ton of money you need for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll get it.
They got the money.
But that's gotta be what if they're just talking about it now? It's gonna be at least 2 years out, right?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a while.
Yeah. So Apple Plus, you're still not gonna get my money at least for 2 years.
No.
Well, anyway, so we all set for tonight. Good to have this one up.
Yeah.
So coming in a little bit long, but I guess that does it for us for this week. You can find all of our episodes on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerdtude. Also recommend Witch movies if you haven't thought of any that we haven't. So I'm curious about the Witch movies. So
Ryan, thanks for coming.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, right. So
it's
That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
All right. Bye. Adios.
Good night.